All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
I'm glad you're here, Cole.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just got my mail. And and check this out. My Uncle Horace just died.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Yeah.
To hear that.
Yeah.
He was a good man.
He was all right. World War II was complicated.
Gary is our simplest war.
not the way Horace saw it. It looks like I'm getting a little bit of a payday here, which I know that's not, you know, never want to take joy in the death of an apparent
Nazi.
An arguably criminal old man. Inarguably criminal. So it looks like I actually get his estate, which would be cool. See you guys. See you later, Will and Brayden. I'm gonna go live in this estate up in the old
foothills?
Moors of West Portland. Yeah. However, it looks like there's a little asterisk here, and there's a clause. Oh shit! It says in order to get the estate, I have to go spend the night in it. It is said to be haunted, and I shouldn't go alone.
That's weird.
Do you want to
No, man.
Do me a solid and
actually, no. I've got plans. It's a whole thing. There are commitments and stuff.
You
like
love that. Haunted shit.
I do. But it's
you wouldn't want me to be alone in the dark.
No, definitely not. How about this? I'll send you a game.
Loan me Chris. Okay.
Chris is who I mean. We have an arraignment down in Florida that we have to attend. So
we'll spot me a Merkel.
no, because if Merkel goes to me, something terrible will happen.
Oh, don't worry about Merkel.
Merkel will just be fine, just fine. No, I'll give you a game to play. All Merkels float down here. Is that what you said? Yeah. Hey guys.
Pretty chill. No, it's okay. As long as I can get something to distract myself. I think that Ghost, like if playing those photography based horror games has taught me anything, like Ghosts aren't really there if you don't look at them. So
exactly.
If I can just kind of,
I found this floppy drive here, or this, it has a disc still in it. So
cool. And I've got a Commodore PET. Mm. So I can go ahead and just install this into my Commodore PET.
Is that like an IBO?
More or less. Okay. It is a briefcase computer that is heavier than the sun. if it's what I think it is. I'll just install that through the SCSI port.
Okay, cool.
On the back.
Oh, it's so fragile. Make sure you don't bend the pins.
I'll do my best. I happen to have the world's only, PET that doesn't have broken SCSI. I'll just bring this to the house and play it. Let me check and see what game I'm going to be playing in the old haunted manner of Derek Harmasar Horace. let me see. Okay, Don't Go Alone.
Oh, neat.
That's appropriate. Yeah, I suspect this is cool. So I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
that Sam Bear found on archive.org.
No, this was not. No? This was not Sam.
This is not part of the Bearstorm.
No, not part of Bearstorm 2013, 14? Yeah, 14. Yeah. Wait, 15?
Maybe 15. Well, there's a big boss 3.1.
The windows that apparently did not bear much fruit. But he was a trooper, and he went through and he suggested a shitload of them.
Yeah, so, great.
Yeah. But this is Jonathan. Who wrote in with this one, who didn't have any comments, which is too bad. Like, I would love to see some kind of context. Like if this was something that just kind of slipped by Sam's radar, or if Jonathan played this when they were young. I have no idea.
What kind of superhero played this as a kid?
Like one of the coolest, like that kid, you know what? He had everything figured out by the time he was 14.
Totally. Like you play this as a kid, you know what's up.
No, you're flush with you're flush with cash and close to God. Like, yes. you, like it, everything, the wind is at your back. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the machine that your dad uses for spreadsheets, you turn it to your own dark devices.
Yes, yes. So don't go alone. Is it fair to say that this is like a wizardry or might and magic style first person party RPG?
Yes.
Where you're exploring a haunted house.
Yes. All fair so far.
Okay.
But it has a couple of cool twists to it. One, you're exploring a haunted house. and the game leans into that where like your character, it's like very Call of Cthulhu-y. Like mm-hmm. your characters are like effete intellectuals.
Yeah, except for Dan. Dan the adventurer. Who's wearing...
Dan the adventurer and like Kemosabe or whatever the terrible Native American spiritualist you can have. Like, what is this shit? I'm Brotherhood of the Wolf? Like don't do that.
Yeah, no, I Dan was my primary guy until he got too scared to do anything, but no, he's wearing what appears to be a stereotypical striped prison. He's the cookie he's the Cookie Crisp burglar. He's here searching for eldritch baked goods and he's just holding a gun, like he's just you know what, he looks like a one of the guys who pops out of a window in Hogan's Alley.
Eldritch hors d'oeuvres. That works better in spelling than it does in pronunciation. So you have the adventurer, but most of the other people are just like effete intellectuals.
Yeah.
And when you said he got too scared to do anything, you don't get hurt in this game.
No, you get pooked.
Yeah, you just get spooked. It's just like you just get like, oh, I'm too scared to go on.
Oh, that slime, it menaced me.
All I could do is scratch it.
Yeah. It somehow that slime parried my Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, it's very weird. If you die, you don't die.
No.
You just run away and until you're less scared and you can keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Would be pretty cool.
Yeah. And so like when we say it's like multi-party members, like you have a character that you're playing as and you can choose to either attack and they'll have different stats, but like this isn't a numbers game. Like none of the stats were apparent when I was looking at them.
No.
Right.
No,
so
yeah. Like the reason I didn't play it more was because combat took a very long time because I felt like I was doing something wrong. And part of it is because I didn't like find a manual for it.
No, I couldn't find anything either. I thought that I was for sure that there was going to be some kind of a copyright copy protection thing. Because like at the beginning, it introduces you to the other hook, which is you're selecting stuff off of the table of elements. And so yes. Like this is an alchemy game as well. You can mix up and use like tinctures of different kind of things to get different effects, either to scare beasts away or to improve your state of mind. But that never really worked that much for me.
I'm sure there's more to it. You just have to, like, this really feels like you need to have that manual.
Yeah.
Like, it's from that era. And, like, so there's a write-up on the excellent blog, the crpgaddict.blogspot.com, mm-hmm. and he's looking for a map and hasn't had anyone provide him with one.
Wow.
This is a very obscure game.
Yeah.
This is maybe the most obscure thing we've done for the show.
I think so, but it feels so complete, like, missing manual aside.
I had the thought, yeah, it's very complete and very cool. Like I kept thinking like, I suspect this is actually really neat. And if I had gotten into this at a younger age, like I'd be way into it. And I had the thought like, oh, now Cole's probably gonna have to do this for X-Crank.
Yes. Yep.
So I get to hear about it, like have somebody else like actually, you know, hunt down how to play it.
Yeah. Well, so if there's anything I can say against it, is that it's probably simple to a fault. You know, like I said, I can't really look at any real numbers on my character, so I can't be sure how I'm growing.
Well, you might be able to, like, we just don't know that, like the keyboard shortcut.
Oh yeah. True.
Like, that's like, the thing. Like it's like, I feel like you can do all that shit.
This feels like something that would have shipped with an overlay actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it is. Yeah. It's a real PC ass interface. And like, I just imagine it's like semi mouse controlled, but also keyboard shortcut controls.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can do those things that you imagine you can do in a game. You just
right.
have to get to it.
Well, and you have like a map view. You can see everything you've seen, but you have to mix like the right tincture or the right thing is like something like Farsight, and then it takes you into a map screen. As far as I can tell, there's really no like limit on what you can mix up. It's just like one level of abstraction over top of the gameplay function you're trying to achieve, and so you just have to like memorize what those different things do.
It reminded me of the reagents in Ultima.
Oh yeah,
so it's a little bit like that.
Yeah, so this feels like for all of its mature spooky themes, and also the fact that you fight something called a hood, it feels a little bit like Baby's First Wizardry or Baby's First Might and Magic.
Yeah.
Because of how simple it is. But like it, you know, this was made in like 1989. So it's going to have like a bunch of these restrictions, which include like you can't see an item until you're like on its square. So yeah. you're mostly walking around looking at the mini map above you with all of your people like walking tight in a Scooby-Doo row.
Yeah.
On one tile. And then you just have to like hit all of the squares until you pick up the key because you can't spot it.
Yeah.
And so that makes it less of a like exploration game and more of a just you're painting.
You have to comb the area.
Yeah.
But there are like there are some like little hooks to it. There are like weird little paintings and stuff. And there are hidden walls that mm-hmm. I found. Like so yeah. There are illusory walls in here, like yep. similar to a King's Field.
Yep. And like a lot of those are one way.
Yeah.
The encounters don't feel random to me, actually. Like, I noticed they would happen on the same tiles most times.
Well, and they're not very frequent. Like, I think I read the CRPG Addict thing. There are random encounters, but they're just very rare.
Hmm.
Which, like, what a cool way to do a game like this. Like, yeah. You have to explore this place. There are a couple places we're going to have to fight. But every once in a while, you run into something. Like, it's mm-hmm. something about random encounters in a horror game. Like, I'm not saying I see that all the time. It's not like this trope needs to go. Because I never see it. But it's such a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, because it just will become rote. Like, mm-hmm. it'll just become boring.
That's not where you want the friction to be.
And having it just happen every once in a while, but be mm-hmm. kind of a big deal, is a really cool way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how Don't Go Alone does it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is great. Like, I kind of wanted to see if there was a different, like, tile set or a different biome or something like that, because the halls, you know, gets a little bit, Microsoft Maze, but, like, I don't know. It feels really good. I'm not sure if there's any kind of like, there is story. Like when you're walking around, you hear voices. Like there is text describing this. And it's saying like, you know, both your internal monologue, like, you know, it would take great courage to walk further. And you hear it.
And then you take one step and it says, or stupidity.
Yep.
Like it's got like a sense of timing to it,
mm-hmm.
despite being so primitive. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really like these, like, you know, effete intellectuals using science to fight monsters.
Effete intellectuals and Dan.
And Dan and Kimosab or whatever, like, his name is. You know, and it is, like, I mean, you can make the argument, and this is the argument that they make on the CRPG Addict thing, is that it's more or less just, like, a swap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just plays the same as any fantasy game. It's just they just renamed everything. But mm-hmm. that stuff matters.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is, like, it still feels, it can feel cooler to be, like, you can make the argument, like, oh, Phantasy Star is just a fantasy RPG. It's just they make everything spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, it feels different.
But,
like,
I mean,
yes,
like,
mechanically, there's no difference between a bow and a gun. But
that feels disingenuous on the order of, like, well, this game would be no different if you just, you know, stripped it down to wireframe or took it back to programmer.
Exactly.
Like, especially in a horror game, like, if you're going to be going for it, like, theming matters.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure. So it's like, I think that this kind of very creative theme, I haven't seen, like, I know Sweet Home is a role-playing game that, like, mm-hmm. is about exploring a haunted house, but I can't think of very many examples of that.
Right.
And it's a cool idea.
Yeah. Like, the closest you get is like something like Deception or Trapped, but that's the thing, you know, like, the, like, only part of that's a mansion. Most of that's like dungeon and shit.
And most of it's not even really a role-playing game.
Yeah.
Like Deception, like, it has like a whole different, like, weird set of mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
The company that makes this is really weird. This Polygames, because they
Sterling Silver, you mean?
They're serving Sterling Silver. Yes, thank you. Who did like a lot of like golf games, a lot of racing games, and then Sonic Spinball.
Yep,
that terrible game.
That shocked me when I looked at that at Moby Games.
Do you want to play pinball at 8 frames per second? Play Sonic Spinball.
Do you want to play a Sonic game where you can't really run?
where it's the slowest like pinball, one of the fastest games you can play. With one of the fastest characters, and it is one of the slowest games you can play.
Man, like, I don't want to say that's a game that taught me disappointment, because I'm sure my parents factor in some there. But, like, it's, I just remember being crestfallen, because, like, at least Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is Puyo Pop.
Yeah, that's a fun game.
Yeah.
I got Sonic Spinball, and I was on a Sega kid, which means I didn't have a Genesis growing up. I just played my cousins. But when I eventually had like a job and disposable income and bought my own Genesis
mm-hmm.
and played a bunch of Genesis games, I bought like a 6-in-1 cart that was really, really cool. Like the Genesis 6-in-1, if you ever get a chance, it's got like one Sonic game. It's got a Mean Bean Machine. I think it has Echo the Dolphin. It has like a bunch
Shinobi
of
Shinobi or something.
Yeah, it's like it's a really great value. But it also has Sonic Spinball, and it was just like it was like the one game that's collected dust on there.
It's the packing peanuts just to make sure the other games don't break.
Yeah, don't
transit.
Rattle around. Yeah. Like it is Sonic Spinball sucks. So it's like I feel comfortable saying, and like who knows if these golf games that they did are any good. Mm-hmm. Looking at Mobi games, like the highest rated game they have is like Race Driving and PGA Tour Golf. Mm-hmm. But those are like, I mean, I don't know, the best golf games, like there's a ceiling for how good a golf game could be. Like I like golf games, but they're all pretty similar in my mind. You know, so unless it's really bad, it's hard to think of that as being very noteworthy. Whereas I think this game is very noteworthy and definitely the most creative thing they've done. Mm-hmm. They did Pit Fighter as well. Oh shit. that's going to show up on this show at some point.
Oh, definitely. That's that is a perennial,
that's a classic.
It's perennially in the running for Exquisite Suffering.
Yeah.
So I, because I'm always in search of a crick, and whenever I see an obscure PC game with a first and last name on it, as design credits, I always go and take a look. Dennis Coble, he was an engineer for Atari, and to his name, he has a bunch of like pinball and like arcade conversion credits.
Okay.
And like he went on to be like a consultant for Electronic Arts or something like that, but nothing really there. Lee Actor has a little bit more of a different career path, in that he left games and computer science in order to become a composer. And if you look at his website, it is very much it is a Time Cube long, like circa 2002 web design kind of thing, just showing him looking like that really theatrical guy from American Movie. And you know, it's fine. He just composes like classical-esque music, which is strange because this game has no music, which is fine.
No.
I kept thinking
that the sound wasn't working. I kept turning on the sound. It's like must wait for emulation to start before doing that. I'm like.
I downloaded a ROM and I ran it in Boxer specifically to see if it ran. And then like no, actually there is sound. It's just not music.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just beeps and boops.
Beeps and boops, which actually works for this kind of game.
Yeah.
Like you're walking around in silence and you just have beeps and boops. Mm-hmm. I can dig that.
Yeah. This is great. And you can play it on Archive. Like Archive. I'm from Michigan all of a sudden.
Archive.
Archive. No, you can play it on Archive. And like, I really recommend you go try it out because like, yeah, it's a little bit obtuse in the way that games that use a menu bar are.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I dig it.
Not so obtuse as to be unplayable.
Right.
Like I was expecting this to be far less playable than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Like this went down kind of like a little bit to more patience than I would have wanted, you know, but like went down way smoother than I thought it would.
Like, and a little bit more patience. That's only a shame because I only have so much time to dedicate to these.
Totally.
I probably put like 45 minutes into it, and I'm far happier about doing that than I am about the 40 minutes I put into fucking Glover.
Yeah, 100%. This is way cooler of a game.
Yeah.
I don't know if this makes a good episode or we're just kind of telling people about this cool game, but this is a cool game.
Yeah.
You know what does make a good episode?
Oh, we teased this last week.
Hitting the coolspot.gov. So I logged into CoolSpot. For those who missed the last episode, I was Googling CoolSpot. Found a place called thecoolspot.gov, which is a government website with some real like how to draw anime-style anime characters teaching kids about drugs and alcohol. It's a web design nightmare.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, this is definitely when they taught web designers to go no more than 1024 wide.
Yeah,
this might even be 800. I'm not sure. Let me do a quick grab.
It is. It's extremely ugly.
Yeah, no, this is like 1990. This has 1999 written all over it. Gary, it's 800. No, 720. Yep.
It's really rough.
Yeah.
But it's a cool place where you can do a reality check. You can learn some facts about peer pressure, things like that. I was expecting you to find a quiz about the 7-Up mascot. I got this instead. So I set up an account at DuckFeed, age 35. And, I'm going to give Cole the quiz real quick because quizzes have done well on this show. However, we're going to do a little twist because given that you're an adult and not the target audience for this, I'm going to treat this like an actual trivia quiz.
Okay.
These are like factoids about alcohol and stuff. And I want to see if you actually know the answer.
Okay. So this is earnest. I'm not like, okay.
They're not funny answers. It's not like the Bible quiz where they're like funny answers. Like that's not this.
Okay.
These are dead serious. Okay. Welcome, DuckFeed. In the US, how many 13-year-olds drank alcohol in the past month on average? Is it most of those 13-year-olds, 9 out of 10, half, 5 out of 10, or very few, 1 out of 10?
I'm going to say half.
Okay. We won't know until the end. Which has the most alcohol in it? 12 ounces of regular beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of hard liquor like whiskey? The first answer, the second answer, the third, or they all have the same amount?
They all have the same amount.
On average, how many people under the age of 21 die from alcohol-related injuries every year? 200, 500, 2,000, or 5,000?
Let's say 500.
Okay. Let me take a real quick break here.
Are you going to open a beer? Because I've got a beer.
And I'm doing a swig of whiskey. I don't drink beer during the day.
Okay. I forgot it's the death. Sorry. I was addressing the practicality of that, not the joke you made.
Of people who start to drink before the age of 15, how many are eventually considered cool by their peers? Wait.
Do they hook them up to a coolometer? Is it a modified e-reader from Scientology?
It's just an applause meter.
Oh my gosh. They just walk about an assembly. It's like a model walk.
At the coolspot.gov government headquarters. How many eventually become an alcoholic of people who start before 15? None, 1 in 10, 4 in 10, or all of them?
I'm going to say 4 in 10.
All of them is a very funny answer for that.
It's very much like a dare kind of answer. Right?
Yeah, exactly. What problems can people who drink too much cause for themselves? Losing friends and trouble with family members, problems at work or school, health problems, money problems, all of the above.
All the above.
Indeed. Some people who drink too much become addicted to alcohol. This addiction is a disease called what? Alcoholitis.
Alcoholism. Oh, no. My beer is too hot.
Alcohol poisoning.
Oh, are there only three this time?
Yeah.
Who designed this quiz?
Yeah, I know. It's been jumping all over the place. The last one had five. So.
My doctor says alcoholism. Go ahead.
Yeah. Say a friend is pressuring you to do something. When you say no, the friend says, "You're such a baby," to make you feel bad. What kind of peer pressure is this? Rejection? Put down reasoning.
Reasoning. He just wants me to be cool.
He does. A group of popular kids at school are all wearing the same style of shirt, and you decide, just by looking at them, that you want one too. What kind of peer pressure is this? Reasoning, unspoken pressure, or put down? That's not really peer pressure.
Yeah.
Stupid quiz.
Unspoken. Yeah.
That's what it's going for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
When somebody is pressuring you to do something that's not right or good for you, what are your rights? To say no? The right to not give a reason why? The right to walk away from the situation, or all of the above?
I mean, all the above, but I think that every kid has the right to say no, fuck you.
I think also kids have the right to be like, all right. Final question. There are several ways to say no, but one is usually more effective than the others. Which is the most effective no? Aggressive. No way. You guys are losers.
Turn it back on them.
Yep.
Hold the mirror up to the system.
Yeah, like the Joker. Like Jared Leto. Hold a twisted... it might be a twisted funhouse mirror. But come on. It's still a mirror of society. The know-it-all method. No, and you shouldn't either. It's really bad for you. Assertive, no thanks, I don't want to. Avoiding, oh my gosh, did you guys see what that guy was wearing?
What was the third one?
Assertive, no thanks, I don't want to.
Yeah, let's do assertive. What I would do would be know it all, but
yeah. This isn't an RP server. coolspot.gov. Okay, I'm gonna submit the answers. Let's see how well we do.
So Gary, we had a little bit of trouble there, and I had to go back in. So now I'm going to be the answer master. How the tables have turned.
It's true.
I know, but I'm actually just finding out how I am wrong. I was wrong. I said that half of all 13-year-olds have drank. I imagine it's far lower.
Okay. It's probably 100%.
Let me give myself let me give myself a reality check, as you probably heard.
Yeah, reality check.
The answer might surprise you.
Okay.
Anything else? Very few. Oh, very few. 1 out of 10. Like, come on. It's actually 98% of kids didn't drink. This is not a problem.
Yeah, let's see if we can get those kids to cool it up.
Yeah, we have too many kids who are lame.
Cool, as a couple of peer pressure guys, let's dip into our bag of tricks.
it's Yeah, we've bullied lots of people out of liking 3D platformers. I think we can, yeah. I think we can derail a couple of bright futures.
When you see a couple of tubby gentlemen walking down the street drinking, what kind of peer pressure is that? Unspoken.
It's cautionary tale.
I want to be those guys.
They talk about video games for a living. Yes. And then how many people under the age of 21 die from alcohol related injuries? Oh shit, I was thinking
too soon, too risky.
Yeah. Oh, alcohol related, it would have to be much higher than 500 because like they're probably rolling drunk driving answers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That. And no, it doesn't give any kind of anything, but it's definitely higher than 500 if you're going to be a weasel about it.
Well, it tells you where to go. Yeah, like it says this is the place on the website you can go to if you want to find out.
But this is a UX nightmare.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do it. And also this episode is running about at length. So just throwing that out there. Like I don't need to do that. But this is a cool spot to hang out.
Yeah, no.
And I recommend if you're a teenager and you're listening to go to thecoolspot.gov and learn about peer pressure bag of tricks.
Definitely. Even if you're not a teenager, go there and like put an age in and skew the numbers way up on some long forgotten spreadsheet or database. Like, why is the average age here like 26? These people know they're in the cool, right? We don't care about them anymore. They can treat their livers like they're fucking punching bags.
Yeah, I can look cool whenever I want, whenever I like decide to just, you know, drink a cool beer and have a cool choke. Damn a snort.
Yeah, no, just those sweet, sweet, tasty bong rips.
Yeah, just rip a spliff. this is good. It's two things that were good today.
Yeah.
Coolspot.gov is good. Don't Go Alone is good.
Yeah.
The CRPG Attic is good. Everything's good.
Yeah, things are okay. Thank you, Jonathan, for giving us this.
Yeah, nice way to end the day.
Yeah. So, if you want to find out if you're an alcoholic, go to patreon.com/chuckvtv/thecoolspot.gov. Yep, and kick us a couple bucks a month, and we'll tell you that you're okay. And this is the point where I feel really bad for making light of a serious disease.
It is definitely a serious disease, but this is a ridiculous website.
Yeah, it is.
Like, if they're not going to treat it seriously, why should we?
Yeah, but we also have the Facebook.com/abjectsuffering, where people say nice things and they talk to each other about bad games.
Indeed, and it's a fun place to hang out. You can leave ratings and reviews and the like. That's a fun, cool thing you can do to help the show, and you can tell people about it. That's a huge thing you can do.
Yeah.
So if you think somebody would enjoy this show, please tell them about it.
Yeah, we just got a couple of goofs who make light of drinking problems.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's not what we do. And if it was, it'd be like the most hypocritical thing in the world. Like, it's not holy. Like, I am just drink out of my, like my desk whiskey. Like, it is just, you know, the bottle of whiskey on my floor that is next to my chair.
After I finish this beer, I'm going to treat myself to some scotch in the other room.
Yeah, I'm going to treat myself to some more beer. Yep. And then some more beer after that.
Yep. And then until I'm not awake anymore.
Yep. So there's nothing light about drinking problems. We both have them and we'll die early.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. So,
Does Zoodog matter?
Yeah. Good night, sweet zoo dog.